action as it happens. And your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic 5, Kilmarnock 1 was the scoreline from the early kickoff. It means Celtic have done their bit should Rangers lose at Pittodrie tomorrow. Brendan Rodgers' side will be champions. It is a matter of when, not if, so it rolls on if that scoreline doesn't happen tomorrow. But nevertheless, the type of reaction that Brendan Rodgers was looking for. Plenty more fallout to come from that game. We'll hear from him. We'll see if it did reach his standards. We'll go through all the talking points with the guys. And of course, the phone line's open a bit later on. But let's go around some of the other grounds, because we have a lot to look forward to this afternoon. And the 3 o'clock games are all about the split, the race for the top six. Three teams involved, and two of them go head to head against each other in North Lanarkshire. Motherwell against Hearts, and Roger Hanna is there.
Yeah, and I hope Gordon Dale's holding his pencil, Gordon, because here are the permutations. If Hearts win, they take the final place in the top six. If Motherwell win, they could make it, but only if St Mirren fails to beat Ross County. And if it's a draw here, the Buddies can clinch top spot with a win in Paisley. A draw would do for Hearts here, but only if St Mirren don't win. So, it could be an afternoon of swings and roundabouts, and I expect you boys to be having a lot of the old as it stands as you chat our way through this afternoon. Motherwell 3 without a win since their triumph at Ibrox last month, and Hearts, they've got back-to-back defeats without scoring coming into this game, so it's not exactly a collision of two of the Premiership's form teams. Previous form in the head-to-heads doesn't give us much of a clue either. Motherwell won 3-1 here against Hearts in August. The Jambos won 1-0 at Tynecastle in January. Hearts' last win here, November 2023, when Lawrence Shanklin hit a double. But the big team news this afternoon is that despite James Wilson being suspended after his red card last Sunday, Shanklin is not in the Hearts team. Moussa Drama has been promoted alongside Elkin Kabangu, and the club captain again kicks his heels on the bench. No such an activity for Kofi Balmer. He's at the heart of the Motherwell defence after winning his red card appeal through the week. And I'll just give you the teams. Two changes for Motherwell: Tawanda Maswanisi and Tony Watt in for Kai Andrews and Luke Armstrong. So that means it's Ilari Balcombe in goal, same back three, Stephen O'Donnell, Kofi Balmer and Dan Casey. Across the middle, Tom Sparrow, Lennon Miller, Andy Halliday and Dom Thompson, with Tawanda Maswanisi and Callum Slattery in behind the recall Tony Watt. On the bench, it's Augsburg, Kutrumbis and Zarkovsky, Peyton Dixon and Tavares, Wilson, Andrews and Armstrong. That one enforced change for the Jambos, Drama in for Wilson, so it's Craig Gordon in goal and the captain's armband for the veteran keeper. Across the back, Adam Forrester, Michael Steinwender, Jamie McCartan, James Penrice, Dennis Diamond in midfield, Benny Meringame, Sander Cartoon, Blair Spittle and George Grant. And up top, as we say, Moussa Drama with Elton Kabangu in the bench. Fulton, Kent, Kingsley, Halkett, Neuenhoff, Shanklin, Devlin, Forrest and Danda. Motherwell, of course, Gordon this week still seething about being in the wrong end of 8 officiating errors this season. They're unhappy at the cost of a VAR system they feel has not provided value for money, and with the stakes so high this afternoon, they could not countenance a 9th blunder against them. So all eyes on the referee Kevin Clancy and the VAR Don Robertson.
And the other game, which has top six on its mind, is St Mirren against Ross County, and David Friel is there.
Very much on its mind, Gordon. Lovely day here, going by a big crowd. As Roger said, it's all about the permutations, and I'm sure a lot of St Mirren fans here will have one ear on what's happening at Firth Park. However, Stephen Robinson, St Mirren manager, will be demanding full focus from his players. The situation is clear for them. St Mirren start the day in seventh. They're a point behind Hearts. They need to get the win over Ross County and then hope that Motherwell take something from Hearts. Sounds simple, it's not in their hands, but St Mirren still have a chance to make the top six for the third season running. What an achievement that would be, and they will be fired up for this one as well. Stephen Robinson won't admit it, but I don't think they could have asked for a better game either. I'll give you the stats. Ross County haven't won in Paisley for almost exactly 10 years. The last time they beat St Mirren here was in 2015, April 13th. John McGinn, Jim Goodwin were playing for the Buddies with Gary Teal as the manager. It seems a lifetime ago. More than that, Ross County haven't even scored a goal in Paisley for 5 years. And they're also on a bad run in recent weeks. They start the day in 10th, for just a point above the relegation playoff. And have lost their last three games in the bounce without scoring a single goal. St Mirren with that really disappointing 2-0 loss to Dundee last weekend, but they thumped Kilmarnock 5-1 here in their last home game. and I think Stephen Robson clearly will be looking for a similar display. He's going for it today. Toyosi Olasanya is back in from the start with Roland Edoro dropping out. So St Mirren are going to line up Zach Heming in goals, Marcus Fraser, Alec Gogic, Richard Taylor at the back, Ryan Alibioso, Killian Phillips, Caelan Boyd-Munce, Mark O'Hara and Declan John across the middle, with Jonah Ayungu joining Olasanya in attack. Subs for St Mirren are Uminski, Yakabite, Tanzer, Smythe, Kilty, McMenamin, Oseni, Edoro and Mandron. As for Ross County, as I said, they can't score a goal these days, they can't win a game. Ronan Hale is back in for the start in their search for goals with Kieran Phillips Ben. So Ross County are going to line up Jordan Amisa in goals, back three of Akil Wright, Casper Lapata and Eli Campbell. Across the middle will be James Brown, Connor Randall, Josh Nisbet, Noah Kenny, Zach Ashworth, with Jordan White and Ronan Hale in attack. Subs for County are Laidlaw, Allardyce, Phillips, Tomkinson, Greaves, Harmon, Effetti, Samuel and Smith. The referee in Paisley's Callum Scott, and the VAR is Nick Walsh.
Let's go to the other Premiership offering this afternoon. Let's hear from Dave Galloway.
After impressively clinching a top six place in their first season back in the Premiership, Gordon, Dundee United are targeting Europe, and their rivals for third place are within touching distance. So there will be no let up from them heading into this Tayside derby that has so much riding on it for the Tangerines and also St Johnston. Their stunning win over Celtic certainly put the cat among the pigeons and gives them the belief that on their day they can beat anyone. Having beaten the champions elect, though, the big question is, can they deliver another huge performance here this afternoon and be ready to capitalise on any slip-ups by the teams above them? There's still that five-point gap at the bottom, so all Saints can do is keep fighting and see where it takes them. Let's take a look at the teams then. And Dundee United's, they show two changes in come Trapanovski and Middleton, out drop Campbell and Maltz. It's Walton in goals, a back three of Cleal Harding, Gallagher and Adegboyega. Midfield, Strain, Stevenson, Doherty and Ferry. Up front, Dalby supported by Middleton and Trapanovski. The subs, Richards, Malt, Babunski, Sibbald, Fotheringham, Van der Sand, Payton and Campbell. Just the one change for St Johnston, not a huge surprise there. Douglas in for the injured right. So it's Fisher in goals, Curtis, Belodis, Mitchell and Douglas at the back, Carey, Holt, Griffith and Duke McKenna in midfield, with Kirk and Sidibe up top. The subs for the Saints, Sinclair, Svedberg, Clark, Stephen, Sprangler, Smith, McPake, Kimpioka and Watt. Match referee here at a gloriously sunny and very pleasantly warm Tannadice is Dan McFarlane, and your man in VAR is Andrew Dallas.
So much to look forward to across the Premiership, but the Championship is every bit as good. It could have been wrapped up this weekend if Falkirk had done the business last night, and then the Livingston result at Morton today had gone their way, but of course that was 1-1 down at Somerset last night, so it will go on just a touch longer. The game we've got our eyes on, for various reasons, is Partick Thistle against Hamilton Accies, and Fraser Wishart is there.
Yeah, you're right, Gordon, it's hard to judge anything in the Championship these days. It's all going a bit nervy for both sets of fans. A vital last few games for Thistle and Accies. For Thistle, it's about staying in the final playoff place. They seem to have been in fourth place all season. At one point they had a comfortable points gap over fifth, but losing that late goal to Airdrie last week was a real blow, and a point would have been welcome, because a good run by Raith Rovers under Barry Robson means that Thistle's lead is only 3 points with those four games to go. Matt Wilson, Brian Graham have done a decent job. They've certainly done well enough since they came in to get the job till the end of the season, but you have to think that staying in fourth will be critical to them getting the job longer term. And Thistle fans, they've seen it all before. They've seen their team promise so much and then let them down towards the end, so they'll be hoping they can get the 3 points today. But for Accies, the next four games are all about avoiding relegation. For a long period it looked like they were in a battle for them just to stay out in ninth place in the playoff place, but that great run, talked about Airdrie winning last week from Airdrie, has seen them close the gap between themselves and Accies and others. There's probably a four-way battle at the bottom with Dunfermline and Queen's Park, both for relegation if Airdrie get a win in the next week or two, and also for the playoff place. So a win for Accies against Dunfermline last week was really crucial to John Rankin's team. It must have lifted their confidence today, and a win could see them increase the gap between themselves and ninth and tenth. On the other hand, defeat and see Airdrie and Dunfermline picking up points, we'll see the nerves of the Accies fans jangling even more in coming weeks. So it's so close, it's really on a knife edge for both teams. A huge day for them both. Difficult to call this one, but just hopeful I'll get a few goals here today at Firhill. For Partick Thistle, made two changes from that defeat against Airdrie. Reid and Bannigan drop out completely. I think they're injured. In comes Stanway and Fitzpatrick. And a change of formation, 4-2-3-1. Lewis Budinakis is in goals. Back four, Canayo, Megwa, Luke Macbeth, Lee Rashcroft and Dan O'Reilly. Ben Stanway and Kyle Turner, the sitting midfield players, are Logan Chalmers, Robbie Crawford and Aidan Fitzpatrick behind Brian Graham. Only seven subs for the Jags. It's David Mitchell, Lewis Cameron, Stephen Lawless, Terry Abladi, Matthew Faulkner, Nick Lockhart and Liam Rooney. And not surprising, John Rankin's named an unchanged team for that win at East End Park. 3-4-1-2 formation for them. Dean Lyness in goals, Dylan McGowan, Sean McGinty and Barry Maguire at the back. Regan Tumulty, Charlie Telfer, Kellen McDonald and Stephen Bradley across the middle, with ex-Jag Scott Robinson in behind the two strikers, Nikolai Todorov and Ollie Shaw. The subs for Ackies, Charlie Albinson, Jackson Longridge, Lee Kilday, Ewan Henderson, Kevin O'Hara, Jamie Burjonas, Ricky Lamy, Stuart McKinstry and Stephen Hendry. And the referee with no VAR is Duncan Nicholson.
Looking forward to them all, and we'll go back once again. We'll keep building up to the 3 o'clock games, and we'll even hear from some of the managers involved when we return.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Marvin Bartley and Gordon Diel are in the studio. We've got the top team around the grounds. We are going to give you post-match reaction later this afternoon to Celtic 5, Kilmarnock 1, a game that moves Celtic even closer to winning that title. But the focus in the 3 o'clock game is very much top 6. It's Michael Vimmer's Motherwell welcoming Hearts to Fir Park. Let's hear from both managers, starting with the home boss.
If someone needs motivation, extra motivation, he don't likes to play football. this is like a final, but as I said before, in both directions we have 38 points. The Dundee FC has 34 points. We have also have an eye in the other direction. So we need points. And if you don't like this game now, this pressure, this perhaps the stadium, I don't know, perhaps. Before the many spectators, there's pressure. If you don't like this and you need someone who gives you a motivation, I don't know if it is the right job for you.
And what about the Hearts manager?
We have that one game. It's in our hands. We know what we have to do. And if we do that, then we can look forward to some important big games at the end of the season, which is where we all want to be competing every single season.
Suppose it's simple for Hearts, Roger, and that they're the only team with it in their own hands.
Yes, they are. Listen, they're in pole position. That they would be, if you were offered, you know, the manager's way, what position would they like to be? They'd like to be in Hearts' position. But, you know, we talk about the prize of being in the top six, the last place in that top six. The real prize is avoiding a relegation scrap, because whichever two teams fail to get sixth place tonight, they're going to have a very anxious time after the split. You know, you look at the table just now, Dundee are in that relegation playoff place, Gordon, in 11 to 34 points. But Hearts have got 39 points, and they would be in a real five-way fight to avoid that relegation playoff place if they were plunged into the bottom six. So whoever it is, whoever the unlucky two are tonight, they will be looking over their shoulders, and the team that finishes sixth, whether it's Hearts, whether it's Inverness, whether it's Motherwell, they will heave a mighty sigh of relief tonight.
I think just because of the size of the club and the fact that they do have it in their own hands and so on, it all stacks up to this having more pressure on Hearts than the other two.
Yeah, without doubt. And I think there's a lot of pressure on the shoulders of Neil Critchley over the next 8 days, because if Hearts can get the win here today, or even get the draw in St Mirren draw, if Hearts can finish sixth and then Hearts can beat Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup semi-final next Saturday, that would represent, you know, a reasonably good season, you would think, for Hearts. Off the back of a third place finish last year, it has to be said. But if they finish in the bottom six and they were to lose to Aberdeen at Hampden next week, I actually think there'd be a bit of pressure falling on Neil Critchley's shoulders, because Hearts, especially in comparison to Motherwell and St Mirren, have got an enormous budget. They should be finishing comfortably in the top six, and if they don't get through today finishing in the top six, I think there'll be a lot of scrutiny in that football department.
Well, that's game one of that equation, of course. So Hearts with it in their own hands. St Mirren can get there as well. They're playing Ross County in Paisley. Let's hear from Stephen Robinson.
Win the game. As I said, we're not talking too much about top six. Top six will take care of itself, depending on things that we can't really influence. The only thing we can influence is winning the game. And as I keep repeating myself, if we win the game, we'll go on 41 points. So that is a massive achievement, and as you've rightly pointed out, gives you a little bit of breathing space from the bottom. If it manages to get us into the top six, then we'll have a very good night.
Fair enough. There would be a time when a Hearts team needing a win would never have left out Lawrence Shankland, but he's on the bench, and that tells me that Neil Critchley doesn't believe that he's the player he once was, certainly last season for Hearts. And that leads me to conclude, I think St Mirren will beat Ross County and take advantage of the fact that Motherwell and Hearts will share the points at Fir Park, and St Mirren will sneak in through the back door. And Roger is bang on. If Hearts do not make the top six, Neil Critchley under pressure.
What do you make of that Lawrence Shankland situation, Roger?
I'm really surprised. I was certain that when James Wilson was suspended for the game, it would just be a routine change. You know, Shankland would come in up top alongside Elton Kambangu, and it was the thing that left off the team sheets when we got at my quarter to two, Gordon, that it wasn't Shankland, it was in fact Musa Drama. And as Hugh says, it really just does emphasise the fact that Shankland, who is still the reigning footballer of the year in Scotland after 30 goals last season, his form's just disappeared off a cliff this season, and he's out of contract, he's out the Scotland squad, he's out the Hearts team. You wonder what next season or this summer is going to hold for Lawrence Shankland.
I mean, if Gordon DL must have left his flat windows open, is that, it sounds like your music choice blaring in Roger Hanna's ear.
I'm loving that.
I can barely hear
Yeah, that's one of my favourites.
System.
What is it?
Baby, give it up. That's plenty. Thank you very much. Yeah. Let's go to Paisley, because David Field, Stephen Robinson's right. They can't really. You see, they always say that though, this time of the year, they focus on themselves, but you wonder what the mechanism is like. Who's telling Stephen Robinson, who's telling the players what's going on elsewhere? Because it always happens.
Yeah, it will happen. And you know the kind of layout of the St Mirren Stadium here, Gordon. You know, the fans are right next to the dugout, so he'll know exactly what's going on at Fir Park. But as I said, you know, the full focus just has to be on St Mirren beating Ross County. You know, I think if you look at their form this season, St Mirren, everybody always talks about their good home form, but the home form this season hasn't really been that good. They've only won 6 out of 16. They've dropped points to the likes of St Johnstone, Dundee United here, others. And I think that's something Stephen Robinson has to iron out going forward. But today, as I said, if he could have picked one opposition, I think he would have probably picked Ross County. It's all there for St Mirren today. Go and do their job, take care of their own business, get 3 points and then see what happens at Fir Park. I'm expecting a big St Mirren performance today. I can't see anything other than a home win, but I've said that a few times when it comes to St Mirren this season, and they've let the fans down.
Yeah, I suppose the last couple of games has been just a prime example of you never quite know what you're going to get with, well, you know what, all of those teams in that portion of the league, David, but St Mirren are a good example of it, isn't just now. Them, Dundee, you know, it feels like they can swing from one extreme to the other quite quickly.
Yeah, 100%, and I think since the turn of the year, they've only won 3 of 13 games in the league. One of them was at Pittodrie, and one of them was at Ibrox. You know, they've been so up and down, but on their day, I think they're a very good team. I really like Olasanya. You look at Killian Phillips, Caelan Boyd-Munster, they've got goals in their team, they've got a solid defence. I think it's, as I say, it's all there for them, but they just have to iron out this home form and get back to what they were doing maybe in previous years. But again, they can still make the top six.
Let's hear from Jim Goodwin ahead of Dundee United against St Johnstone.
6 clean sheets, I think, in the last 10 or 11 fixtures. So defensively, they've certainly improved. They've got very comfortable players all over the park, and we need to make sure that we get things right out of possession to put them under pressure. And then when we do have the ball, we need to do a lot more on it than what we have done in the last couple of games.
What do you think? Was last weekend a sign of life from St Johnstone, proof that they can stay up, or too little too late?
Too little too late, and helped by Celtic's performance against them. They just don't have it for me to stay in the top division, and I think that you know, today Dundee United will prove that fact. I think there's a considerable gap between the two of them, and not just talking about points. St Johnstone, I think, will lose fairly heavily at Tannadice.
Yeah, I think they'll struggle. I agree with you. I think St Johnstone are too far adrift now. to stay up. It was a massive effort from them last week to beat Celtic at home, but yeah, I think they're cut adrift now.
I'm sort of going to disagree with the boys. I think that I fancy St Johnstone to get something. Don't know if they'll win. I think they could get a point. And you look at Kilmarnock losing today, I fancy St Mirren to beat Ross County. And you look at Hibs playing Dundee at home tomorrow, I think that league table will be a lot closer by Monday morning.
Into the championship again. Fraser Wishart, you've sent us a lovely picture of Mark Wilson with his trusty stopwatch in his hand. Honestly, just has to get all the accessories right. Might be an air of tension in that one though. There's a lot going on there. You know, we've spoken about, obviously, Brian Graham and Mark are in currently, and Ian Barraclough's the new sporting director. But all of a sudden, that result last week means it's quite fraught for the final playoff spot in the championship.
Yeah, and you can actually feel the tension around the ground, speaking to Thistle fans on the way up to the ground, and even in here as well, a few of them are really concerned because, you know, after this game, then they've got Dunfermline away, which who are fighting relegation, they've got Falkirk at home, but Falkirk might be in title mode, and they've also got Livy away last game of the season, so this is a big game. They've only got one home game after this one to get those points, and Raith Rovers are on a good run. They've managed to put the pressure on, close that gap, so I think it's going to be a nervy day for the Thistle supporters. I've got a feeling they'll get the victory. They've changed the team formation from a 3-4-3, if you like, to 4-2-3-1, and I think they're probably better suited to that with Fitzpatrick and Chalmers in the wings and Brian Graham through the middle. So I think they'll get there in the end, but I don't think it'll be a big victory. I think it'll just be by the odd goal.
The championship overall, though, Fraser, is so fascinating, isn't it? I mean, there's just stories everywhere. Obviously, kind of dealt already with Neil Lennon and Victor Wanyama. You add into that Queen's Park's debacle in a season that they beat Rangers. Well, of course, at the top, we mentioned that Falkirk could have won it this weekend, but they didn't take care of things last night. I suppose if Livy were to lose today, it would be all but done, but not official, so you can barely take your eyes off it.
Oh, totally. I think outside the top three, I think they're a bit better than the rest. But if you think from Partick Thistle down, and even to Airdrie now, who have begun to find a bit of form, every team can beat each other, and that's why it's impossible to predict. I mean, Airdrie are playing Raith Rovers today at Starks Park, and again, that's got vital connotations at both ends of the pitch. And if Airdrie were to win, and the likes of Accies lose, Queen's Park have just hit free fall, and I think we're all a bit worried about their future. Can they stay up? What's the future of the park as well? So many stories in the championship. It just becomes a bit clearer after today. I think that when the results come in today, things will be a bit clearer for teams. You know, if you Thistle can get a win and Raith Rovers don't win, the gap just grows and gives them that wee bit of comfort. But Accies, decent form. You know, the fans give them a bit of stick, but when you look at their squad and you look at their bench, they've got a lot of players with Premier League experience. They probably shouldn't be where they are. They should probably be further up the league, but they'll have a bit of confidence after beating Dunfermline last week. So a tight game ahead, and I think tight games right across the league today.
Really looking forward to all a lot of big games with big outcomes. We find out what happens between now and 5 o'clock, and kickoffs are next.
The winning team all season long. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Evans, Marvin Bartley and Gordon Dalziel are here. The big games all across the country are underway. I love this time of the season. They call it the business end for a reason, and hopefully it delivers. We asked you for some predictions earlier on. It didn't go particularly well. Give us your ACCA from the three Premiership games, and just chuck in our one featured Championship game as well, why don't you?
Dundee United to beat St Johnstone. Motherwell Hearts a draw. St Mirren to beat Ross County.
So St Mirren top six.
Yep. And Partick Thistle beat Hamilton.
I've gone.
Go on, Marv, I'll let you go, mate.
Dundee United to beat St Johnstone.
Right,
Hearts to beat Motherwell. St Mirren to beat Ross County. And Partick Hamilton a draw.
I'm going a draw with Dundee United and St Mirren. Dundee United, St Johnstone. I'm going to go Hearts. I'm going to go St Mirren, and I'm going to go Hamill.
No way. Yeah. Tipping the Accies against your best pal in the whole world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard Goal Flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Get your essential medicines and vaccines before you head off on holiday.
A love it, Hugh. I can almost feel the tension in the air. You look at Fir Park, Paisley, everywhere you look, there's just something on the line. The championship, everywhere. Like we said, it's the business end of the season for a reason, and we have huge games everywhere you look.
The most repetitive phrase of the afternoon will be "as things stand," because it's going to be a picture that fluctuates, and I look forward to every second of it. As I said, there would have been a time when Hearts, needing a win, needing goals, would never ever have left out Lauren Shankland, and they have. Will that be a telling factor?
It's a big call, that, Hugh. I think that's a massive call. Look, he's not scored the goals because he plays in a different position. I feel for him, because me personally, I don't care what MD says, if I was managing Lauren Shankland, he'd be a centre forward, he'd be a number nine. He showed that last year, when the amount of goals he scored, one player of the year, Scotland, rightly so, part of the Scotland squad. Everybody was talking that he should start in the Euros. Number 10, he can play, no doubt about it, but I feel for him, and I think that's what's happened to him. I think he's been left out because of that fact that he's played as a number 10 now, because he is a goal scorer for me.
Do you think they've had to move him though, because he wasn't scoring the goals up front though? And I don't think, you know, he was offering enough going in behind. They needed to stretch the game. That's what we saw, I think, Wilson, you know, start games probably before he was ready for but then they brought in pace up there again.
Yeah, but am I correct in saying that the season he did have Marv Didino start, have a slow start, and then he started banging in the goals?
Yeah.
And that's what happens with strikers. You know, it just takes up one goal to come along, confidence, the next couple of weeks.
For Motherwell, Craig Gordon dropped Andy Halliday's free kick, and Maswanisi, who back into the starting 11 today, has not played a lot of football under Michael Vimmer. He fires it over the bar.
I like Maswanisi. He could have an effect on that game.
Michael Vimmer doesn't appear to. It's been a strange... I wonder if he's not impressed with his application, perhaps.
It's bizarre that Motherwell haven't won a game since winning at Ibrox against Rangers. You know, bizarre. And Michael Vimmer, you know, he will be under pressure if Motherwell are forced into that five-game sequence where your Premiership status is at risk.
Yeah, so, I agree, Hugh. I think they need a result. I really do. This could be a big afternoon for them. But you're right, since that promising result at Ibrox, their performances have been poor. You could say maybe a little bit unlucky with the sending off last week, gives them a mountain to climb, but all credit to Kilmarnock at home. But they need a result, and probably today is a big one for them.
I just think that, you know, Maswanisi, even Tony Watt, it takes 1 second, one predatory moment, gets you the goal and gets you the prize. And that's why I'm surprised that Shankland, who is capable of that one predatory moment, he might have a bad game otherwise, like centre forwards can have. They can have a terrible afternoon and still come up with the winner. So it's going to be an afternoon about players who are capable of changing a game in a heartbeat.
I think the difficulty is with Shankland, and listen, you've seen him playing in number 10 and we're speaking about him just there, it's four goals all season. You know, 27 games, he's got four Premier League goals. It makes it hard for the manager, I think, to keep on playing him if you're not happy with what he's then doing off of the ball, because he was captain, by the way, and, you know, it's a massive call to take him out of the team. I just don't think, well, he hasn't, has he, hit the heights he did, you know, the previous two seasons. And take the goals away from it, I mean, his all-round play of recent, I don't think it's been on a level for them.
Yeah, but my argument's quite simple for me. I don't think he is a number 10. I think he's capable of playing it. I think he's a striker.
Let's do this, Hugh, whilst we await our first goal of the afternoon.
Good.
First half teaser. With the ScottishSun.co.uk/football. For the best football news and opinion online.
Now, of course, Rangers are going to Spain next week, or are they going to Catalonia? The people of the Basque Country don't consider themselves to be Spanish, do they? But can you name the seven former Rangers players of Spanish nationality? The seven former Rangers players of Spanish nationality. Let me tell you, one of them is really, really, really tough.
Come on then, at Clyde SSB, it is a race. Craig Gordon's having a ropey afternoon. He's now let a pass back to be, I don't think it was the best pass back, but it also bumped a bit and then he let it go over his foot and it went out for a Motherwell corner. So doesn't think it comes.
It just shows you that even nerves can get to a 42-year-old.
Yeah, he's not had the greatest of starts, has he? I would be putting every single ball on top of him because he looks a little bit shaky in there for whatever reason.
Yeah, Motherwell trying to put some pressure on early. Hearts had some possession, but it's kind of swung a little bit. And goals going in down the leagues as well. We'll keep an eye on all the big stories. Are both they could win the league today as well, couldn't they? Is that the half past five kickoff against Stenhouse Muir? So there's a race on to see who the first champion will be. It looks like our both might well do it.
Did Craig Gordon have a mistake last week when Dundee United beat Hearts? I think there might be a Craig Gordon involvement there.
Not in the goal though. No, it's just a good header, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah, good header. Brilliant header.
That would be really good.
Really good.
Take it back, Craig.
Queen of the South 1, Montrose 0, Adam Brooks with the goal there. So we're getting some goals going in down the leagues in Scotland, just nothing in our top flight yet. Kabangu, I think, tried to race through for Hearts, but Ellery Balcombe. And I actually wondered, Gordon, if there was a decision to be made because Aston Oxborough's back fit, he's in squads. Don't know if Ellery Balcombe's quite covering himself in glory. Nothing major, but yeah, I wondered if a Michael Vimmer would be tempted back into Aston Oxborough.
Yeah, I probably went down that road. I think he's the number one goalkeeper. He waited for his opportunity, Gordon. I think he's taken it. I think he is the better of the two goalies. But look, we had a massive debate during the week, didn't we, about Rangers, for instance, with their goalkeepers. Sometimes the manager gets a feel for a goalkeeper. He wants to stick by him, wants to keep that confidence going, and that's what he's doing just now.
Yeah, it makes it hard, doesn't it, if you know, chopping and changing goalkeepers, especially at such a pivotal time of the league, where if they can win this game, they can go into the top six. I just think, you know, it's one of those things you probably just leave as it is. Unless the goalkeeper makes a howl and you have to change it. I think, you know, going to the business end of the season, you probably just, you know, leave it the way it is.
Andy Halliday, big day for Andy, former Hearts player. Now he's got to do the best he can to put them into the bottom six.
Will he celebrate?
He gets top marks for his attendance this season anyway. He's been an ever-present for Motherwell, and you don't get many of them in this day and age, particularly at this stage of his career.
Has he been ever-present?
I think so. And if not, he's certainly played more than anyone else. Yeah, he's been always there or thereabouts. Obviously a big squad as well, Motherwell, and you know, they've made a lot of changes as a result of that. So testament to him for staying in. This is his 41st appearance of the season.
Wow. That's a great return. Great return for him.
See if he's in on Monday though. See what happens here. See how bad a mood he's in, or see if he picks up another injury. Then we'll
there's one thing for certain. He will be picking up an injury today.
That's what I'm saying. He can't be that injured if he's playing 41
well, he likes
times.
A niggle, doesn't he? He likes a niggle. He likes a badge kissing.
Roger did say he was limping after 5 minutes.
He limps at the warm up.
He does a lot of work though, Andy. He does get through a lot of work.
Oh, come on, Marv. You can't just sit in the face.
Really good player.
He's not
here out there.
He's not hearing you, mate.
I've got to back him up. Oh, I have to. On. Massive player for Motherwell. You two know it.
The teaser, Gordon DL, is that one that's up your street? Do you save yourself for the Who Am I?
Yeah, but I've got a couple there for.
Okay.
They're very obvious ones, but
but there's a real one there that I think Alan McCoy signed. Am I correct in saying that?
No, just wait, okay? Just you wait.
A winger?
At Clyde SSB on the teaser. Ackies have started well. Ollie Shaw inches wide with a 20-yard shot. Thistle are giving the ball away. It's not the way the Maryhill Mourinho wants to play.
I'm telling you now, his stopwatch will be in the drawer within 2 weeks. He's running a bit. You should hear him, Marv, on a Thursday, right? Unfortunately, I come in early. My goodness, you should hear this guy, right? He's like David Friel with Tactics Board. I've never heard so much nonsense in all my life from him.
With friends like you.
I know.
Look, I don't want Andy to do well, Hugh. There's no point me sitting here and trying to pull the wool over MD's eyes. I love failures.
Right? See, now that you've got a flavour for it.
Oh, man.
See, when things weren't going well at Queen of the South
I
last season,
imagine.
Can you imagine what was said in here?
I can imagine. I should have been listening.
No friends in this business.
I should have been listening in.
Hearts are looking quite shaky playing out from the back. Marvin, it's not really working for them.
Yeah, listen, there's pressure on them, isn't there? You know, we spoke about it before the game. You know, Roger was talking about there's big pressure on them to finish in the top six, not only the players, but I think the manager as well. I think if they finish in the bottom six, regardless of what they do, you know, in the next round of the Scottish Cup, it would be seen as a failure. And listen, Neil Critchley will be trying to hide that from his players, but they'll understand it. You know, they'll understand that the demands on them. And yeah, they started the game a little bit shaky, understanding what's there, but they need to go and win this game of football. It's quite that simple.
Well, Robbie Nielsen's lost his job in Florida, so he'll be looking at the Hearts result.
Surely
he
not.
He might be there.
Surely not a third time.
Oh, could you imagine?
No real excitement at Tannadice yet. Will Ferry fizzed the left-footed shot just wide. It actually looked like it was going in, but goes just past the post. There's Andy Halliday down again.
He's fouled though.
He's fouled by Benny.
I thought you meant he was injured.
No, he's been fouled. That's all I mean.
The kit man must hate his jersey and shirt after a game, eh? Andy's in for a double wash.
He loves Benny Beningame as well. So he's probably just trying to use his experience, just go down under the pressure.
Yeah.
Oh, he loves
Beningame. He used to be a winger, didn't he, Andy? So he's used to that.
Yeah, he started.
Down the road, he was a winger. Flying winger at that, by the way.
Well, I don't know about
that. Yeah, he was decent on the wing. Yep.
Not a flying winger.
He was decent. He was, yeah, he had a bit of turn of pace about him.
No.
He's an old man now. You know, he's not got the legs anymore, but yeah.
Did you ever play against him in England?
Yeah, I would have.
Seriously?
Yeah.
That's quite
I would have.
That's a kind of overlap there that I hadn't really considered, because obviously you would.
A hard tackling winger.
Were you always a midfield player, Marv, or were you just that bad in other positions?
Yeah. No, I started up front.
Did
As
you?
A kid, yeah. Then I went centre half and then centre mid.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
Can't imagine it.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
All. Everyone just says they started as a striker, though, don't they?
Yeah. I was a winger.
Were you?
Yeah, I was.
I bet you never surpassed it, absolutely anybody.
Mate, I'm telling you now, I was like Formula One. I was that quick, right down the wing. Woof.
End product.
Brilliant, right? And then they decided, because I had so much pace, and I was a natural goal scorer, put me centre forward. And the rest is history. I went on to have the worst career ever in football.
The rest is hysteria.
This day, they're still wondering why did we take him off the wing.
You enjoyed yourself, that's my
Listen, I had a good time. Score a couple of goals, get subbed in the 67th minute. And you're in the Hamilton Palace before a full time whistle.
Watching the results come in.
The Gallagher brothers must have watched you at Manchester City and thought, we've got to get out of this and go to rock and roll, get away from watching this.
Dreadful at City. That was absolutely dreadful.
Anyway, back on planet Earth in Scottish football. Not a lot happening, though, I have to say. That's why I'm quite happy to let him rumble on for now. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers very soon. Some interesting stuff from him in the wake of that 5-1 victory against Kilmarnock. Speaking about various topics, so we'll play you some of the best bits when we can.
Managers always say I didn't watch it, but do you think Brendan Rodgers will sit and watch the Aberdeen Rangers game tomorrow?
100%. 100%.
Yeah. See if he's a champion.
I don't think you. I think all managers, because potentially he could play them in the cup final as well.
Yeah.
You know Aberdeen, what I mean? Yeah. So I think if you're a manager at that level and two teams are playing it, like say Aberdeen Rangers, I think you've got to sit there.
Depends what else you've got on.
Well, yeah, okay. Right.
Barbecue or something.
Yeah, to be fair. Good point.
Enjoy the weather.
Tomorrow's our last dry day for a while,
great.
So.
You better enjoy
it. Managers are watching the game then.
Sean Batty joining Gordon Gale and Hugh Keevans in the studio this afternoon.
I'll be texting Marvin Monday. What's the weather, folk? I'm going to play golf.
Right, Hugh, let's do a visit to the teaser then, whilst we're waiting.
Yeah, we want to know the names of the seven former Rangers players of Spanish nationality. Who are they?
I think most people are going to give this a good go. I can't see many wrong answers coming in, if that makes sense. I think people either won't be able to to get them, or we'll be struggling to dig some out. Roger Hanna's given it a go. You won't be surprised to see he, I think, might have them all
already.
Roger has.
We're certainly pretty close. So get those guesses, keep them coming in at Clyde SSB. Oh,
we got a goal.
We do. It's a big one.
With M&D Green Pharmacy.
Oh. Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 1.
Don't you just love a Saturday?
Do you know what you have to bear in mind? We have Partick Thistle fans listening. It's not all about you trying to get one over on Mark Wilson.
Okay? No, look.
Try and behave. Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 1, Nikolai Todorov after 15 minutes.
I think, listen, I was listening to Fraser, whose knowledge of the game is second to none. Right, and he's right in what he said. Hamilton have got a good squad. They've got good players. I listened to him reading the team out, right, and I thought to myself, that's a difficult one for Partick this afternoon. Look, I'm a massive Partick Thistle fan. I played for the club. I love them. It's in my heart. But I just fancied Hamilton fighting for their lives today. Tell you what, they better hope Wraith don't win, or that stopwatch will be certainly in the cupboard by 5:30.
It's the other end of the table as well, because as things stand, Hamilton are 5 away from Neil Lennon's Dunfermline, 5 points in front of them.
A bad miss for Hearts. Sander Kartum over the top. He probably should have scored. So it's a bit of a let off for Motherwell. Hearts haven't really done much so far, but that was a big chance to open the scoring. He's been... he's had these moments as well since he signed. Remember the terrific double that he scored? Was that the cup game, actually?
That was, yeah, against Dundee. Yeah, it was. It was at Tynecastle. 2 fabulous goals. Yeah, listen, he was a player that, obviously, after that game, the Hearts fans were raving about, and he has an opportunity he probably should do better with. Technically, very, very good footballer, though. He's taking his time to work his way into it.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 2. Scott Robinson with the goal, and it's the ex-Jag, Scott Robinson, of course. So that will not go down well. It has turned into a very tough afternoon for Partick Thistle already.
Fraser Rushett will be sitting in the midst of bedlam, because the Partick Thistle fans will not take that well at all. Huge scoreline for John Rankin, the Hamilton Accies manager. Neil Lennon, when the news is relayed to him, will be thinking, right, at the moment Hamilton Accies are 5 points above my team. So now we're getting the drama. The drama is beginning to crank up.
Marv, I think we need to move over. Mark's just come in his car there. He's parking as we speak.
I've got something for
him. Listen, I'm not having a dig. I just fancied... I look at Hamilton's squad, they have got better players than what suggests. They get a good result against Neil Lennon's Dunfermline. Partick lost a late goal last week. They've been doing great under Mark and Brian Graham, but that's sneaky for Hamilton today.
Bit of a blow for Motherwell, and what a week Kofi Balmer's had. Sent off, a pretty poor decision by most people's reckoning. Wins his appeal, so gets to play today and only lasts 20 minutes and limps off with a hamstring injury. Replaced Motherwell down to the bare bones a bit at the back. Remember, no Paul McGinn, no Shane Blaney, no Liam Gordon and so on. So Johnny Katrumbas is going to come on for Motherwell. He's only played 4 times before now. Most of them have been relatively short substitute appearances. He started that one game up at Tannadice in the first game for Michael Vimmer. But since then, yeah, not really played very much, and he's going to have to go on and do a job today.
Forgive me, but where did he come from?
He's Australian.
Yeah,
he came over from Perth Glory, I believe.
He's always late for training.
Oh.
I think he actually had relatively high hopes early on, but he had a bad injury and it's not quite materialised. So now, Marvin, Stephen O'Donnell is in the middle of a back three for Motherwell, which, you know, tells you quite often, you guys know more than me, and your back three, it's quite useful to have a kind of a hybrid fullback type on either side. But if you're in the middle, you know that you're down to the bare bones.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he'd even put in there for his communication skills as well. Kofi coming off the pitch, it's a massive blow for them. Not only the way that he plays the game, the way he talks and communicates to people in and around him. So, yeah, you know, Stephen going in there, it's a position he's probably not played before, Gordon, like you said there, but the older you get, listen, he understands the game. You know, playing as a middle centre half, he'll take it in his stride, but it's going to be so important now that he speaks to the boys either side of him, because they've got a massive task on their hands now, especially with attacking players that Hearts do have on the pitch, and obviously Lawrence Shankland also on the bench will probably come on.
There is another big goal, so it's not all bad for now, Partick Thistle fans, because it's Raith nil, Airdrie nil, Airdrie one, sorry, Chris Mockery again, who's been in amongst the goals recently, and that really again just shakes things up at the bottom. So
yeah, and
I fancy them to go with that.
Yeah,
do you know that?
As things stand, Neil Lennon's the man under pressure, because that would put Airdrie onto the same 30 points as Dunfermline. And although Dunfermline are playing a Queen's Park team who have lost 8 games on the bounce, 8, it's still goalless between Queen's Park and Dunfermline.
Yeah, they're still goalless, so we've got a goal in the Premiership. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's Dundee United nil, Ross County 1, Ronan Hale again, a goal that would really shake things
hold
up.
Hold on, Ross County? St Johnston.
Oh, sorry, my goodness.
My chip of the day.
St Mirren nil, Ross County 1, Ronan Hale.
All right.
It's the top 6 that it shakes up. My apologies. Ronan Hale with the goal.
I didn't see that one coming. No. I really didn't. You know, I thought St Mirren would win that game and win it comfortably. But listen, Ross County under Don Cowie have done really well. They've been fighting away. Only a couple of weeks ago they were looking at the top 6, and they now find themselves obviously looking over their shoulders. But you know, that would be a massive one for them if they can win that game.
David Friel before the game told us 10 years since Ross County won against St Mirren in Paisley, 5 years since Ross County scored a goal in Paisley against St Mirren. And Ronan Hale,
it's been checked though for something.
Oh,
who knows what it's been checked, so it might not stand. But as it sits at the moment, it is a lead for Ross County. Randall, Nisbet, they both nearly scored, and then Hale does. Poor defending that will frustrate Stephen Robinson, but he'll be hoping they can get a reprieve thanks to VAR. Morton nil, Livingston 2, Scott Pittman with the goal. So highly unlikely that we move any significantly closer, should I say, to the Falkirk title win. It will come at some point, you'd imagine. We think this has been checked for a foul right at the start of the move, but the goal is given. St Mirren nil, Ross County 1, a blow to St Mirren's top 6 ambitions, and a big boost for Ross County's ambitions down there as well, to do that as it stands. But they obviously move on to 38 points above Kilmarnock, and one behind Motherwell, who, like we said, as it stands, have a point on the board.
If you're
still
Stephen
wants
Robinson,
to play for,
you look at yourselves first, because you had home advantage, you're playing a team who are in bother down at the bottom of the league, who have lost 3 matches on the bounce, who don't score the goals, and you're a goal down. You have to look at yourself.
Hearts will be delighted with that goal as well though, won't they?
Yeah.
You know, they find themselves in the position now, as long as they don't lose this game of football, the way things currently stand, then you know they'll be into the top 6.
Well, that's true. Yeah, a draw would be enough.
Yeah.
But Motherwell have probably edged the game at Fir Park. Nothing major though, to be fair, but it's fairly 50-50. If you were being picky about it, but Motherwell I think would be comfortable enough or happy enough with what they've done so far. St Mirren did start well but have faded in that game, hence the reason they fall behind, and still nothing elsewhere to tell you about.
But as I say, the drama is cranky up. Down at the bottom of the Championship, it's getting particularly interesting.
Yeah, Queen's Park could be pulled right into that. If they lose that game of football today and find themselves in that relegation playoff, I think they're probably the only team that, if they do end up in there, that could potentially be relegated. I think the other ones will have too much. But Queen's Park are on a terrible run of form.
Airdrie are in good form now.
Yeah,
you know, they're a good result against Thistle.
Airdrie,
They're up at Kirkcaldy, 1-0 up already.
Story of the season, if they managed to avoid it.
Yeah, because they were cut away, weren't they?
They were done.
Yeah, they were written off. It's been a massive turnaround. Fair play to their board as well, sticking with Reese, because it would have been easy to get rid of him.
Yep. Sidibe goes down in the box, but no penalty up there at Tannadice. Right, would you like to hear from Brendan Rodgers after the game today? This was him on the performance this afternoon.
Well, it's perfect. It's what we talked about in the week, about having that winning attitude, and you mix that with the talent, then that's the type of performances we produce. So, as disappointed as I was last week, I'm so happy for the players and the team this week. And yeah, performance level was so high, especially in the first half. The connections, the speed in the game, the quality of the football, everything that is good about the Celtic team. That was it today. But it all comes from a big concentration and a big attitude in the game. Did you play against a team that man marks you as well? You've got to be able to have the flexibility and the movement to lose the individual markers, because it's a tough challenge. But we did that so well. Attacking connections, running, mobility, and obviously then the counter press, which we didn't concede so much. Second half, Derek makes changes, making them really hard to beat, but we still get in and maybe just miss the wee final bit of luck that you need. But some of our play outstanding, and obviously Tony gets the goal at the end and caps off a brilliant performance.
Well, he goes from seriously unhappy man to delighted man in the space of 7 days, using words like perfect, quality, attitude. So he got what he was looking for. He took his players to task. He challenged them to respond, and they did.
Interesting, it says concentration and attitude. When you mix those two things with ability, that's what you get. It's almost like to say that the players weren't doing that. They didn't have the right attitude to go and win games. They weren't concentrated.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 0, and Adebayega is the man with the goal. He's only about a yard out, not much to do, but he provides the finishing touch, and that one so far going with form, going as the league table would suggest. It was Will Ferry's corner, eventually fell to Adebayega, and he provided the finish.
I think we'll find that last Sunday was a false dawn for St Johnstone. They're under serious pressure now, and I expect Dundee United to score more goals.
What a job Jim Goodwin's done, by the way. Yeah. That team coming out of the Championship last season to this season, you know, getting into the top six and winning today's game, and, you know, take them level with Hibs on 50 points. Unbelievable, you know, 18 months to 2 years that they've had under Jim Goodwin. Deserves massive credit, by
it's
the way.
It's not over yet, lads. You're going too early.
What do you think, St Johnstone going to come back and win?
Yeah. No, I think they'll get a draw.
Yeah?
I've said that from day one, yeah.
Anyway, we were listening to Brendan Rodgers. He was full of praise, Gordon, for his team.
Yeah, rightly so. I thought first half they were excellent. They come out the traps. He was looking for a big response. He was certainly given that. I thought some of the football they played, as much as Kilmarnock tried their very hardest to close them down, their passing movement was too good. And when Celtic are in that form, they've just got better players. Yes, I think Derek, rightly so, second half sort of strengthened it a little bit, made sure that they weren't easy to beat. And he would have been, I think Marv was right in what he's saying, he was delighted to get out there 4-1. That could have been a real, real sore one this afternoon. But I think Brendan Rodgers got exactly what he wanted, the response.
Well, as Marvin said, you know, the manager can see this in training, and he's thought, I will have to call these guys out and just let the public at large know that this is not acceptable at Celtic. And he got his response today big time.
Shows he's got a really good dressing room, though. You know, we speak about it all the time when, you know, players are called out, how they respond. And his players went out and responded in the best way possible. You know, like he said, that first half performance was absolutely brilliant. Probably the best I've seen Celtic play over a 45-minute period, if I'm honest. They were fantastic.
But it also helps because the guys who we felt were on the receiving end, they came out the team. Mm-hmm. So it helps when you've got a squad and Greg Taylor can come in and put in a man of the match performance, you know. So it wasn't as if the same players stayed in and then they responded. As a group they did, but it's also, you know, he had to make the decisions to rotate certain elements of it.
Yeah, and again, credit to him. But when you take big players out of a team, I think it lets the others know that if Jock can come out or Kuhn can come out, any of us can come out. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happens. It sends a ripple across the whole board to say, listen, these are two massive hitters. 4 weeks ago, if you'd have spoke about these two players coming out after defeats to St Johnstone, you know, you'd have never guessed that. So now he's gone on to do that. He's taken them out. It shows no player is safe within that team. And that's why everyone has to respond. Everyone's levels have to go up, because if those two can come out, any of us can come out. And like you said there, he made the changes. It worked wonders for him. And then he brings, you know, those two players on. Schlupp comes on as well, obviously, after being dropped. And listen, they come out and they improve the team as well in terms of their energy and their performances.
Where do you think this leaves Liam Scales, for example?
I think it leaves him with the shirt. I think it has to. I think it's one of those things that, you know, as I said earlier on in the show, I thought he was extremely harsh. He dealt with in terms of losing the shirt. You know, obviously, you know, Brendan's brought in trustee for £6 million or whatever it was. So at some point you have to bring him into the team. But I think Trusty's now lost the shirt, and it's Liam Skelton's shirt to lose.
You happy with that, Hugh? Seagulls are leading, yeah. Brighton 1, Leicester 0.
Penalty, well, Pedro. So Leicester, it's a shame. You know, we all remember that unbelievable season with Claudio Ranieri.
They're gone, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, awful.
They're gone.
And, you look at Vardy, you know, that season he was magnificent, but he's now a guy who's at the wrong end of his career.
Yeah.
I'll let you hear Derek McInnes' thoughts at some point as well. The producers will probably just edit a bit of it because his first answer was 5 minutes long.
Oh, wow.
One solitary answer.
Wow.
5 minutes?
I bet he was happy.
I don't think he'd have been happy with the first half performance, but sometimes you've just got to look at the opposition and say, do you know what?
To be fair, without giving any spoilers, I think that is part of the theme.
Is it? Yeah. And I'm not surprised with that. He's an experienced manager. You don't sit there and try and pull the wool over people's eyes that have watched the game. They were outplayed, they were outclassed.
It shows you that even Derek, with his years of experience at this level, he knows that these last five games, that bottom six is going to be hell for leather.
Yeah, but he had some harsh words, didn't he, just before the international break, and then they came out after that and lost 5-1 to St Mirren. So, like you said there, I think he knows he has to keep the players on side, and he has to be realistic as well, like Gordon's saying there, realising you played against the Celtic in the first half that were absolutely brilliant and breathtaking.
He did enough, you know, 5-1, yep, bad enough, but at one stage you seriously feared for them that it could be a result that we'd be talking about 20 years from now.
Yeah, there's been a change for St Johnstone. Mitchell's gone off, Sprangler has come on, so they're looking to get themselves back into that game up there at Tannadice. They really needed to just stay in touch, because to be fair, I know you're all saying you thought they had too much to do, or sorry, a couple of you did. If you can stay in touch until the split, then you'll play each other. But if it gets any worse today,
yeah, I just fear for them. I do, and I said at the start of the season, I predicted them to go down. I just don't think they have enough, Gordon. Like you said, I know what you mean. Like, it's going to be tight after in terms of the split, and if you can win a couple of games, but I just don't see them doing it. I don't see them being able to put a run of form together to close the gap.
You just take great delight because you live in a St Johnstone
absolutely
household.
And you know, I lost a little bit of my shine when, you know, they ended up beating Celtic on the Sunday after Hibs had beaten Rangers on the Saturday, because I was absolutely buzzing in the house, and then she outdone me on the Sunday. I was fuming. So yeah, relegation for them, mate.
Absolutely no sympathy whatsoever. Anyway, right, we'll round off the teaser in about 5-10 minutes. So just remind us of the question, Hugh, if you can.
Can you name the 7 former Rangers players of Spanish nationality? Comprende?
Sí. I'm looking through the answers. I think most people are either not. I don't think there's many wrong answers, if that makes sense. People are maybe just struggling to come up with all 7. Andy has asked, is Cortez not Colombian? Yes. Yes, he is. So he's not on the list. He's ruled his own answer out. Anyway. Right. Keep the tweets coming anyway. Forrester's now booked for pulling back Lennon Miller after Carton lost the ball. So Motherwell doing okay in that game. I think the home fans will be pretty happy. Hearts fans maybe not quite so. Dumbarton 0, Cove Rangers 2, Fraser 5. What a week, or a couple of weeks it's been for Dumbarton. First team to get relegated in Britain, then go and beat Kelty 6-0 away, which sees Charlie Mulgrew end his stint as Kelty manager.
It's a fairly spectacular way to say goodbye to your managerial career.
Yeah,
6-0 at home to a team already relegated.
Managerial career, you're saying he's done here?
I don't think you fancy it much after that.
I don't think the managing game for
to put you off for life. That's you've
got to look at what your strengths are, and you know
he's only 11 games though. Surely he can come back.
No, I don't think Charlie's that kind of guy. I don't think he's set out for it. He tried the youth system, obviously.
But you never know, because you guys should know every club's got such a different set of circumstances. If you write it all off after 11 games,
I think some people are natural coaches and some are natural managers. We're getting a real insight into managerial psychology just now. Barry Ferguson, midweek, Athletic Bilbao, 10 men, ended up with 9 men. They're fourth in La Liga, but he still managed to get something out of the players that he had said 5 days earlier That's not a Rangers team.
Were you a manager or a coach?
I started off, so when I first went in, I loved being on the grass. So I was doing, you know, a lot of coaching. But as we went into kind of the second season, I'm probably doing more managing than coaching. That's probably one thing that I regret. I really enjoyed being on the grass, and I think it's probably my biggest strength. But
a little bit more hands on.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things going on in the background that you have to deal with, as you know. It's you know, it gets a bit busier.
Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Equaliser for St Mirren. They have levelled things up, and it's Caelan Boyd-Munns who's scored the goal. Remember, Ronan Hale had County in front, but we are now level in Paisley, and Caelan Boyd-Munns continues his good form recently. It's his sixth of the season, more crucial, it's his fourth in his last four, the midfielder, so and a good time to get one.
And no wonder they've offered him a contract extension. Mm-hmm. Been an important player for St Mirren, and you know, they started badly, got a goal behind to a team who don't score. But I think this is the start of St Mirren starting to assert themselves.
Becoming a bit of a trademark goal for him. I feel like I can picture a few 25 yard drives into the bottom corner, and he's done it again.
Yeah, he strikes a brilliant ball. And when you said it was great time for him to score, I thought you meant because of the contract negotiations, get a few more extra pounds. But listen, he's been a really good player for them. No surprise at all that they want to keep him. But like you said, he hits a really, really good ball. I think he's grown as a player as well over his, you know, period of St Mirren. He's getting better and better. Probably for them at the wrong time because his contract's running out, but for him at the right time because he can even demand more money or, you know, potentially get a move. But no, brilliant for St Mirren. I hope they can go on to win that game.
Do you fancy him for the top six, Marv?
Do you know what? If they got to the top six again, he's another manager that I think, you know, you have
to... deserves a bit more praise. Yeah,
a lot of praise. Really a lot of praise. You know, in the way that the Motherwell Hearts game's going, I think St Mirren could do it, which would be a massive achievement for them, by the way.
It was their first shot on target. I don't think that'll bother Stephen Robinson too much. Now he'll be delighted, but yeah, it wasn't necessarily coming. But there we go. We're level in that one in Paisley. And of course, keeping an eye on all things top six. Well, it's as you were, really, because both games are level. Motherwell have had a few sniffs. Gordon, Callum Slattery had a shot deflected wide. Tony Watt fired one wide.
Yeah, I think the most important thing at Fir Park is the first goal, whoever gets it. I know Hearts are big favourites, but Motherwell at Fir Park, they can pull off a good result. You've seen what they achieved at Ibrox. Yes, there was a blow when they had to change the substitution and O'Donnell goes into centre, the back three. But there's still a lot to play for, and that's why I like the split. It's so exciting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You look at our leagues just now, top to bottom, and you know, the race for third. You look at the race for the top six. You look at race for the 11th place as well. I think people agree that if St Johnston lost today, they'd probably go. But I just think we've got a good product.
That's why I've been so surprised with all this talk of, you know, potentially the things changing, you know, smaller league, bigger league, whatever else. I think we have it perfect at this moment in time. And like you said there, we're going into the last game this weekend with so many teams with things to play for. I think it's a fantastic product. And again, you know, the fans are buying into it because the crowds are growing.
Yeah, Motherwell's home record against Hearts isn't bad, actually. Had a good few wins in recent seasons. Can they get another one today? If they were to be the team that go and score and results were to stay that way, of course, then Motherwell take the top six spots. It's just going to be like that all afternoon. So much toing and froing. Nothing's really giving yet because both games are level. We thought we had movement when Ross County scored at Paisley, but St Mirren are now level in that one. Caelan Boyd-Munns with the goal there as we tick towards half time, probably around about 5 minutes to go. Trapanovsky's had a shot for Dundee United, but it goes straight at Fisher, who was excellent against Celtic last week, wasn't he?
Yeah, terrific. He got a break when James Forrest should have scored, but he kept it out. It was Forrest's fault, and Fisher gets credit for keeping out the attempt, such as it was. But there's no belief that St Johnston have the players who can keep them up.
It might not be enough for them, but at least they addressed that, Marvin. I bore everyone on this show. I think my number one relegation theory is just always about the team that goes down usually has a problem in goal. Mm-hmm. St Mirren had St Johnston had a major problem in goal. they now don't. But again, it's whether they've just left themselves too much. But at least they addressed that to give them a fighting chance.
Yeah, and it's the thing that they had to address, like you said, to give them any sort of chance of you know, staying up. And they managed to do that. And listen, Fisher was worth his weight in gold last week. Which, to beat Celtic, your goalkeeper's going to be very, very busy. He's going to have to be good. And he did both of those things. So, yeah, I'm sure Simo's looking at it, knowing he's got a solid goalkeeper. But, you know, just at the other end now, you know, can they get enough goals to keep themselves up? But I definitely agree with you. You know, they've got a better goalkeeper now than they did, unfortunately, with Josh Ryan there.
Whereas today, Kieran O'Hara, the Kilmarnock goalkeeper, was badly let down by the people in front of him, which may be something that Derek McInnes will address.
Again, they've got issues though, and you can tell that because they keep changing.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, Robbie McCrory and Kieran O'Hara. So,
could have had both of them in goal today.
Speaking of O'Hara's, Mark has had a shot over the bar, good chance for St Mirren there, but still level, a goal apiece. There's an easily held shot by former Motherwell player Blair Spittle, held by Balcom. Hearts have been really poor here, but Motherwell haven't managed to take advantage of their better start. So,
you know, if Hearts fail in their objective to get into the top six, Neil Critchley, and I do appreciate what Marvin said, that Lauren Shankland's got four goals all season long, but Neil Critchley will still get the blame for not starting with him on a day when you need a goal.
Yeah, I'm not sure the fans are massively behind Lauren Shankland at this moment in time. I'm really, really not. I don't think
because he was pictured apparently at Ibrox.
That's probably not helped, but I don't think there's a massive drive for him to be playing. I think a lot of them have wanted him dropped out of the team beforehand. I think there's a few things wrong in terms of how I don't think the shape helps him at all playing a diamond. You know, as I said many times on this show, I played it years and years ago, but the game's moved on so much from there. I just think they give teams far too much time down the outsides, and it makes every game they play, they're never in a great deal of control. They're always 50-50 games, whether they win them or lose them. They're never, you know, a team that can dominate possession.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes then before the break.
Listen, it's difficult for the players. I think when you see there was two sides to there. We slowed Celtic down the second half. We put a team out second half just to stop the bleeding, really, and just to use a bit more experience, fill gaps. We became, as a consequence, on paper, certainly less attacking. But I think certainly we made Celtic go back the way a lot more and play round us. And I thought we defended really well second half. But the first half is where we got it wrong in terms of, you know, Celtic came out and started like a train. You know, everybody was talking to me about, you'll get the reaction, face the reaction that Celtic would have got from last week's disappointment. And when you actually see Celtic like, you think, how can they lose games against teams in the league? There's also, my job is to help my players first half. It was difficult to try and get that kind of advice onto them and that help onto them. And we had to all suffer together, really, until half time. And, you know, we asked for a clean sheet second half, and we should have got it. We were 20 seconds away from getting it. But I thought we were, second half is what we're going to need more going forward in terms of trust, responsibility, and just being a bit more harder to play against. And thankfully, you know, this was the type of fixture that all our competitors were, that was the result they all wanted. And we spoke about that. The goal difference thing could play a part. So we were mindful of that before the game, certainly mindful of that at half time. So it's hard to take any sort of positives for it. So I think it was a combination of Celtic upping the levels, playing in a manner which they can for periods of that first half, and us just not being able to cope with that.
Yeah, he played himself perfectly. That at half time, the damage limitation was the object of the exercise for Kilmarnock, and they achieved that. Other than Anthony Ralston's last second fifth goal for Celtic, but he also answers a question about Brendan Rodgers in there when the Kilmarnock manager, can look at Celtic and say, how can they lose games when they've got this amount of talent going for them? And that's what offended Brendan Rodgers in Perth. He was offended by Celtic's performance, and he made it public, and he got the desired reaction. But Derek's right, it's 5-1, goal difference does come into it. They now face the 5-game fight.
He probably struck the balance there, Gordon. He's not saying they can't do anything better and that they were good, because obviously they weren't. But even if they were bang at it, they wouldn't have lived with Celtic in that first half, probably. So it is difficult when you know you're overwhelming underdog in a game.
Yeah, I thought his assessment there was perfect. He was honest. He was open about it. he said he couldn't help his players, and I totally understand that. Sometimes you've just got to try, and what he achieved, got to half time, switched one or two things round, made it difficult for Celtic, as he said, slowed them down a little bit, because Celtic started like a train. You know, they were passing, movement, and Kilmarnock players couldn't live with that, because they're top quality players when they're playing at the top of their game. So I thought his assessment was very honest.
For those of you interested, Captain Cody has won the Scottish Grand National. 9-1 shot was Captain Cody, so well done if you were involved in that way. Hugh, let's do this.
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The seven former Rangers players of Spanish nationality are, I'll give you the easy ones, Mikel Arteta, Nacho Novo, Carlos Cuea. Now, who remembers Aaron Niguez? Who remembers Juanma Ortiz? You remember Fran Sandaza, who came from St Johnstone. And did you get John Toral?
Some tricky ones in there. Some really tricky ones. Well done if you got it right. And loads of you did. I always say our listeners have the best knowledge out there. Marvin Bartley's just looking blank.
I had two.
Confused. Gordy Boy was in third place. Igaman Prop second. And Jamie Dock was the winner. Well done to you if you managed to get them all right. Even better if you got on the podium. A good Who Am I coming up. Half time for Park. Here is Roger Hanna.
Yeah, half time. Motherwell nil, Hearts nil. Hearts are remaining in pole position for this final top six place, but it has not been a stylish performance in any shape by Neil Critchley's side. Motherwell have botched the first half and had the better of the chances. That started early on. There was a free kick. Benny Beningame pulling back Lennon Miller. The ball dropped. Andy Hartley's free kick, it should say, dropped by Craig Gordon. It fell to Wanda Masfenisi in the edge of the box, and he just couldn't control the shot. It went over the top. Nervy start from Hearts. Aaron Forrester's back pass. It was allowed to bobble over his foot by Craig Gordon for a corner as well. Hearts really, really struggling at that stage. You got a rear break forward. Elton Cabanyu bursting into the box. But Eleni Balcom was smart and quick and off his line to stay at his feet. Hearts' best chance came in 18 minutes. A break down the left hand side. The ball delivered to the back post. But Sander Kalchin well over the top, way off target. When he really should have hit the target. Motherwell suffered a defensive problem moments later. Kofi Balmer going off with what looked like a hamstring injury. John Kuthrumbis on it right centre back, with Stephen O'Donnell and Skipper going into the middle of a back three. Khartoum then booked for taking down Dominic Thompson in the far side of the pitch, and then Forrester also landing a booking for hauling back Miller after Khartoum gave the ball away. Khartoum really having a difficult first 45 minutes for Hearts, but so are so many of his colleagues. Callum Slattery here, a shot deflected wide from a short free kick from Lennon Miller just before half time, and then Tony Watt flashed a shot across the face of goal and beyond Craig Gordon's far post after that corner broke him at the back post. Hearts had the last meaningful chance, if you can call it a chance, of the first half. Former Motherwell man Blair Spittle having a shot from outside the box, easily held by Ellery Balcom. Hearts, as we say, they're still in pole position for this final top six place, but they'll have to do much, much better in the second half. They have been disappointing at the break. Motherwell nil, Hearts nil.
And it's also half time in Paisley. David Friel.
Yeah, half time, Gordon St Mirren 1, Ross County 1. It's pretty tense, pretty nervy as it stands. St Mirren's top six bid remains in the balance. There's a big crowd here, they're expecting a big performance, but Ross County's Ronan Hale silenced them with the opener. However, Caelan Boyd once equalised with St Mirren's first shot on target, and Stephen Robinson, just imagine him down there in the dressing room demanding a lot more after the break. It's been an up and down performance from St Mirren. They did start in the front foot. Jonah Ayunga fired an LF over Declan John. He's been really good here. His low cross was cleared at the front post. They forced a succession of corners, free kicks. You wondered it was a matter of time before they scored, but County settled. They started to get a bit of joy in the break. Ronan Hill's been very good, and in 22 minutes they took the lead. Zach Ashworth down the line picked out Conor Randall at the back post. He headed back across goal. Jordan White had a shot blocked. Josh Nisbet had a shot blocked. Ronan Hale was next to have a go, and he fired past Zach Kenning to make it 1-0. Then a couple of minutes later, he almost made it 2-0. He wriggled free of Alex Gogic, Ronan Hale, and had a low shot saved. St Mirren really struggling to create chances at this point, but Boyd Munster's been in fine scoring form and equalised in 36 minutes. He collected the ball around 25, maybe even 30 yards from goal, and produced a trademark low drive into the bottom corner. That was his fourth goal in four games, and he almost made it five with another low drive just before the break. Jordan Amisa just managed to save it. What to do for St Mirren in the second half, but they do still have a top six chance. Half time, St Mirren 1, Ross County 1.
And in one of our championship matches, Fraser Wishart has the half time story from Firhill.
Yeah, it's Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 2. A really frustrating 45 minutes for the Thistle fans. Accies thoroughly deserved a 2-goal lead, 2 in 2 minutes by Todorov and Robinson, and they defended well, with Thistle have shown little in attack, no shots on target in the first half. Accies started really brightly, playing on the front foot. Kelly McDonald brought out a really smart low save at his post by Budanokis. Ollie Shaw a minute later, inches wide from 20 yards as Thistle took time to settle. When they did, the chances fell to Logan Chalmers, unfortunately for Jags fans, on his right foot. One was a volley completely miscued, the second in the side net when he should have gone across the goalkeeper. But then in 15 minutes, Aki's open to scoring, a simple goal. Ollie Shaw wide on the right hand side in front of the tunnel, for those of you who know Firhill, deep cross. Nikolai Todorov completely unmarked, 10 yards out, volleyed past Budanokis into the net. 2 minutes later, it was 2-0 for Aki's. Telford put ex Thistle player Scott Robinson clean through behind the back four. Excellent low finish to the goalkeeper's right. Keeper had no chance. Home crowd was silent at this point. Players stunned. Thistle struggled to put any decent attacks together. Chalmers' cross was headed over the bar by Brian Graham. He just couldn't get on top of it. But the lead meant Aki's could just sit back. Thistle hit them on the break, and it's all a bit of a struggle for the Jags. And towards half time, the fans, from being silent, were now letting the frustration and annoyance be heard. Megwa shot over from 20 yards, left foot shot at the target, and Brian Graham at full stretch couldn't get a touch to a Chambers cross. But boos at half time, so I think a big half time team talk for Brian Graham and Mark Wilson. They've been way off it so far. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a couple of changes for Aki's. John Rankin would be delighted. His team have been terrific so far. A perfect performance in defence and always dangerous on the break. Half time at Firhill, Partick Thistle 0, Hampton Accies 2.
And we will do a full round up of the half time scores, as well as a half time report from Dundee United and St Johnstone when we return.
The fastest goals, the experts' opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Half time in the 3 o'clock games across the country. Let's round up the scores, starting with the Premiership, in case you did miss the full time result. Celtic 5, Kilmarnock 1 at the interval. Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 0, Hearts 0, and St Mirren 1, Ross County 1. In the Championship, Morton 1, Livingston 2, Partick Thistle 0, Hamilton Accies 2, Queen's Park 0, Dunfermline 0, and Raith Rovers 1, Airdrie 1. In League 1, it is Alloa 0, Annan 0, Dumbarton 0, Cove Rangers 2, Inverness 0, Kilty Hearts 0, Queen of the South 1, Montrose 0. And in League 2, Bonnyrigg Rose 0, East Fife 0, Clyde 1, Forfar 1, Edinburgh City 1, Elgin City 0, Peterhead 1, the Spartans 0, and Stirling Albion 0, Stranraer 1. If you're interested in the English Premier League, the full-time score, Man City 5, Palace 2, at the break, Brighton 1, Leicester 1, Forest 0, Everton 0, and Southampton 0, Aston Villa 0. Let's get the halftime picture from Tannadice with Dave Galloway.
Halftime in a game that's not hit any great heights yet. Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 0 after a quiet opening. Ferry went close for Dundee United, fizzing a drive from the edge of the box just wide after Middleton teed it up for him. The home side were edging things and went ahead after 25 minutes. From a corner kick, Adig Boyega forced the ball in from all of about a yard out. Poor defending by the visitors, who then had a penalty shout quickly waved away after Sidibe went down in the box. But St Johnstone went close to equalising when Sidibe set up Duke McKenna, who curled one inches wide of the far post. United looking just the more threatening team, though. Trapanovsky had a decent opening but shot straight at Fisher. However, home defender Cleal Harding sliced the ball over his own crossbar when clearing Duke McKenna's dangerous cross. Almost an OG there. Saints, to be fair, stepping things up as half-time beckoned. Pretty even over the piece so far, but at the interval, it's Dundee United 1, St Johnstone 0.